This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, and we're coming to you live. Yes, indeed. We are live at Temple Bay Studios in Hollywood, California. I want to say hi to my incredible co-host and producer, Mr. John Williams. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Jasper. Can you believe it's Thursday already again?
I know. Now we can gauge how fast we're dying by...
This week has just flown by. I don't know about you, but I woke up and I'm like, it's Thursday already? Jeez.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't do a show last week, but we kicked it off with Dr. Fujian the week before. So this is sort of our official, you know, kick back into live shows in November. So we kind of did a dress rehearsal, which I think went good, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, considering we've been together 8 years now. Yeah, so listen.
I think we got it.
Some of you who've been with us from the beginning know, you know, John and I go back 8 years. And I'm so excited we're doing the show live again. I want everyone to please follow us on social media because we've got pages on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. It's all One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And, of course, also my personal and fan pages are Jasper Cole Says, S-A-Y-S. And my website, jaspercole.com, also has a link to the show with all the necessary links. It's just, you know, the world is one big link, JW.
It is.
Right?
It is, except on Instagram where you can only have one link in your profile and then you have to have a tree of links. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I was saying last time, I'm 55 and I'm determined that I'm not going to be left behind in this technological world. So thank God I have you to help me. But, you know, I do struggle, but I think I'm trying to at least stay up to date. I just don't want to be that old person going, yeah, you young people and your gadgets, you know, I just can't deal with that shit.
Well, you got a whole education on VR on the last show. So now that's the future of the net. That's the 4D internet coming soon. But
virtual reality.
Yeah, but the thing is with social media, though, is it's constantly changing. Even I have to go through refresher courses and things like that because Facebook's constantly changing everything. And, you know, Facebook owns Instagram. They own Oculus. Mm-hmm. They own WhatsApp. They own everything. So, you know, except Twitter. So everything is just constantly changing. So
The one thing Jeff Bezos doesn't own. It's the one thing Amazon hasn't bought yet, which it could happen, right? But yeah, so I wanted to let everyone know we're so excited because we've been promoting our special guest tonight. She is so, first of all, I'm so in love with her. I've been a fan of hers for many, many years, and then I got to actually call her a friend. But now I get to say she's also part of the Newman Thomas Management family. So everyone knows that our special guest tonight is – now, are we going to bring her on now, JR? JW?
We sure can.
who are you?
Well, you work with a JR and a JW.
I know.
So
I've got all these
– it's got initials going on, so I get it. It's okay.
I know,
we can bring her on right now.
I don't want to keep her waiting. So everyone, please welcome
my
very special guest, the multi-talented Jennifer Elise Cox. Yay!
that's a standing O for you, Jennifer.
That's a real applause up in
really
here.
Nice.
How are you, my dear?
Good. Well, how are you guys doing? I'm a JC.
Oh,
We're
both JCs.
JC,
it could be
JC, JW, JR.
Yep.
I have
JR.
So many J's in my life. Well, first of all, thank you so much for joining us on the show, everybody. Oh my God, I got such a great response from ever since we posted it. I mean, just so everyone who's just tuning in, we're here tonight with Jennifer Elise Cox. Of course, probably best known as Jan Brady in the Brady Bunch movies. One of my favorite roles ever, of course, is Gina on Web Therapy, which to this day.
Oh my God, that's my favorite too.
I could watch her all damn day. I mean,
yes.
I love Gina. Gina. I want to be Gina. She just does not give a
fuck. Oh, my God. And also, I mean, Nurse Pittman on Will and Grace. I mean, you've got such an incredible body of work. And we're going to get to all that because I want to go through so many of your credits. And Idiot Sitter, the most recent thing you've been doing on Comedy Central, your film Out West. But I want to go back because, you know, I like to talk to fellow thespians on here about how it all started and like their journey. And, you know, Jen and I, we're in the same generation. I'm older, but we're
totally. No, you know, we're similar. We're close.
Yeah, we're in that same that same club, as we call it. Yeah. But so you grew up in New York City, which I don't know if a lot of people know that, but I think a lot of people think of you as a California girl, you know, and I don't know.
There's
sometimes
a pretty bunch, I think, in the blonde hair that's been dyed, y'all. I mean, it's dark. It's
breaking,
totally
are we
dark.
Breaking news tonight, or is that?
I mean, it's shocker. You guys might be really surprised to learn that I'm a brunette. It's so shocking.
We like to break stories here on One-on-One with Jasper Cole. But, you know, no, I think you're right. I think because of your persona and just your voice and your energy, there is a very Californian energy to you. But nothing against the stereotypical New York impression that's out there. But you got to grow up in the great city of Manhattan, right? And you were surrounded by
What's so funny is I know you're talking politics a lot. Uh-huh. And what's so interesting is, like, I grew up in New York at a time where we did Trump for the first time and everybody hates him.
Right.
Like, we all hate him. And we can't believe we're doing it again. And Giuliani, too. I mean, like,
he was
in the mix in the 80s. Like, I mean, Trump was just, like, so disgusting there.
It's
and everybody hated him. And everybody hates him in Manhattan still. I can't believe he's our president. It's crazy.
Well, I think that's why
it's like we're living in
an
alternate universe. It really is.
We are. Right. We are. So
well,
we are. And it's weird because I did it twice.
Well, that's a great point. Well, that's a great point you're making, Jennifer, because a lot of the people, you know, I call it the flyover states, everyone that voted for him, they're really, I think their only reference to him was the Celebrity Apprentice. So prior, they didn't know what a complete joke he was. Like
cornered
you said,
him.
For 70s and 80s and 90s, he was just, and he still is.
He screwed over everybody in New York. Oh, my God, the whole thing with Marlon Maples. I used to see them at the gym. You know, when I was like 19 and he'd be like sweating, doing his workout and she'd be there handing him towels and then he would throw towels at her.
Okay. Well, truth, as I've revealed before, you know, I went to college with Marla. Well, let me just make it clear. Marla and I we're both 1 year dropouts because I decided
the
I knew
people drop out of school, you know.
Well, I knew I wanted to be an actor, but I'm going to quickly tell this story. So the first day of acting class in college, the teacher went around and they asked everyone, where do you see yourself in like 10 years in your career? You know, some people said Broadway and theater, and I said I'd love to go to Hollywood and do sitcoms. And they got to Marla, and she goes, well, I guess I just want to be famous. And we all looked at her like, you stupid bitch.
That's
you know.
Amazing.
And then, like, jump cut to 15 years, 12 years later, I'm walking down Fairfax by a newsstand one day, and I just look over, and it's this big picture of these two blonde women, and it's like Georgia Peach confronts Trump's wife or something. And I look over, and I pull up the paper, and it's like Georgia Peach, Marlon Maples. And I thought, okay, well, I guess she won.
Wow.
She's certainly famous.
Kim Kardashian, she said that to my girlfriend, Julian Barbary, way back in the day. She was like, I just want to be famous like you, you know.
Well,
Julian was like, do you want to study? And she's like, no, I just want to be famous. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I think that's maybe the key. I think we maybe studied too much and thought about it too much.
I agree. Well, fuck all this trying to be serious actors. But these, of course,
that was the old times. That was the old times.
This was before, you know, reality TV and social media.
That's
and all
what I'm
that.
Saying.
Yeah.
Now things have changed. They just say want to be famous and they're famous. So, like,
well, and speaking of social media, I want everyone to make sure they follow Jen as well on her social media. So Instagram is at Jen Elise Cox, and pretty much everything else is Jennifer Elise Cox. And they can also
Twitter's at Jen Elise Cox, and I think Instagram is Jennifer Elise Cox.
Oh,
I know it's really annoying.
Well, if they go to your website, JenniferElyseCox.com, it's all there.
Yeah. It's all there.
It's
when I post all of that, all of that's in
they
the description.
They can link it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we want to make sure.
Even your IMDb.
I always say just Google Jennifer Elise Cox and see what comes up. But no, so I was going to say, you, growing up in Manhattan, minus Trump, you when did this whole acting bug happen? Was it something early on, or?
It was really early on for me because my parents were artists in Manhattan, and I was seriously indulged. Like, I was so lucky. Like, they took me to Isadora Duncan dance classes when I was four, and like, I mean, they just wanted me to be an artist, and all of their friends were actors. They hung out with Susan Sarandon and Chris Sarandon, and they hung out, they went to acting school, and they wanted me to be an artist. Like, if I would have said that I was going to be a lawyer, they would have been really upset with me.
Right.
It's just a different experience from all of my friends. You know, I went to an arts high school. I went to performing arts, which was the FAME high school.
That's the FAME
and then I went
school,
to
right?
Arts.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had such a different experience since from my friends who I went to school with, because all of their parents really didn't want them to be an artist. And it was like, if I wasn't an artist, forget it. Like,
you
would have
been disowned.
Been really So
How was that going to the performance art school? I'm assuming it was great because you had everything right there.
Amazing. That school was amazing. The students were amazing. The faculty was incredible. And I heard that, like, I went in the 80s. So I heard that I went at the best time because it was like the freest time and it was the craziest time. And, you know, academics were not really, like, you know, important.
They weren't pushed too hard.
And now, like, they have some, you know, principal who's, like, preaching academics there. And, you know, I kind of wish I would have gotten some of the academics because I am a dummy in some ways. But, I mean, but I got such a great theater education. It was amazing. So fun. But, I mean, I feel like, for 8 years, I spent time just, like, on the floor, just touching the ground. Like, I just remember for hours. Like,
rolling around.
You just had classes where you rolled around.
That prepared you for Los Angeles when you got to Hollywood. And they're like, okay, bitch, get on the floor. But for different reasons. But we digress.
Oh, my.
Pretend you're a tree now, bitch. Yes.
So funny.
Oh, my God. But so after you, so you got accepted into the prestigious Cal Arts and you came west, and that's what brought you out to California, right?
I always knew I wanted to come to California, and I can see why people think I'm from California, because I used to try and sound like I was a Valley girl. I knew I always wanted to go to California. I don't know why. And like, I would put on a California accent. People are always like, you don't have a New York accent at all. And I was like, no, I studied it. I wanted to be from California. I'm really weird. Like, I just knew I wanted to be here. And I'm glad I came here. Oh my God.
Well, had you been here at all before you came out for CalArts?
A little bit. My mom did movie advertising, and she worked with people in California, so she would take me on trips here.
Oh, okay.
And,
got it.
So I got to kind of get what it was, and I was just like, this is fantastic. I have to do everything in my power to come to California. I just thought the weather in New York was just terrible.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. When I was in Atlanta thinking about either moving to New York or L.A., my theory was just like, you know what? If I'm going to have to be poor and struggling and suffering, I'd rather just be laying on the beach than on the sidewalk in New York, right? When it's freezing.
And people told me in LA, they were like, look, even if you're poor, struggling, like, you can go to the beach. There's things you can do, you know? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
As opposed to New York, where you can't do anything.
You're just trapped in the winter. You're just trapped inside. Wow.
Yeah, you're just trapped inside.
Well, I mean, CalArts is an amazing school. I think you and I have talked about, Jules Arendt, who was one of the professors there, was a dear friend of mine. Yeah, it was really the big theater professor there. Tell us about some of the alumni that you worked with at CalArts. Are there people today that are in the business that kind of came up through the ranks with you there?
Well, there's a whole bunch, but I mean, really the people who kind of made an impression on me is like the SpongeBob gentleman.
Oh, right. Oh, wow.
I mean, he was incredible. Like a lot of the animators from CalArts, because it is like the school for, they are like employed like 99% out of that school.
Out of that
Crazy.
School. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and,
yeah.
It,
and
you
Tim
know,
Burton, it's... Tim Burton, amazing, you know.
Oh my God.
So visionary, so incredible. There's, you know, there's so many of them, but also a lot of the artists. I'm just kind of really into art, and I don't know if you guys go to the Broad Museum. It's so fantastic. There are so many CalArts paintings.
Oh, wow.
Up there. CalArts
amazing.
Artists. Like, it's kind of impressive. It's cool.
Well, and also, you know, at that area, at that time, Santa Clarita, Valencia, that was kind of not a lot going on up there. Now, of course, there's like two or three.
Brand.
Right. Now there's like two or three studios. You know, they shoot a lot of TV
yeah.
and film there. And of course, a lot of people move there to get cheaper, you know, because they build these great subdivisions and you can leave LA and not pay like $3 million for a parking spot, you know. So
totally.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was there, there was just Target and Don Cuco's Mexican place.
Oh,
I
love that place.
Was Magic Mountain? Was Magic Mountain there? Was that?
What's
was Magic? Was Magic Mountain there yet? The amusement
yes,
park.
Yes, Magic Mountain was there, and it's so funny. We all the students at that time worked at Magic Mountain because there was nothing out there. There were no jobs for us. So everybody worked at Magic Mountain, I remember.
After you left CalArts, did you move into Los Angeles? Is that how it started for you? Was there like a moment, or did you go into sketch comedy in LA?
I moved in. I actually got into theater. I was literally like, I was this theater girl. I had studied theater and I knew like the method. And I had done a play with this really sweet actress, Nikki Dukas. I moved in with her in Glendale.
Oh,
she
okay.
had this place where the rent was so cheap. My rent was like $350.
Oh, my God.
Living in a townhouse. You know, it was unheard of.
Right.
It was amazing. So I moved there, and I was doing theater primarily. And then it was so funny because I got – my first part, really, my first professional part was Brady Bunch. And
oh,
like,
my God.
I only knew, like, the method, Stanislavski method. So I applied the Stanislavski method to Jan Brady. Like, I drove everyone crazy. I was doing Jan Brady method. I was Jan Brady 24/7.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
She's crazy, you know. Well, but I didn't know any better.
Well, let me ask you. So how did you have an agent? Or how did that ever happen? How did you get the...
I got an agent from a showcase from CalArts. The showcase where I was, like, so shy. And I remember I wore, like, a Laura Ashley dress. And they were like... I didn't know what I was doing. They were like, what are you doing? You know?
That is classic.
Well, they picked up on that, eccentric? That eccentric vibe about you then, and that's how they got you in that role.
I was like, what are you doing? And then literally, like, I didn't go on any auditions. I think I went on, like, 3 auditions, and then they were like, we think you'd be right for Jan Brady. You've got to go into this. We know we haven't called you in like 10 months, but.
But see, I love these stories. I love these stories because a lot of actors are, you know, we're lucky to have a lot of actors who listen, and especially a lot of young actors. And it's a great story of like, you can't plan, you know, nobody can plan, quote, their breaks, you know, in the business. I mean, a lot of people spend time trying to manipulate things so that they can be in the right time, you know, position or the right place. But here's an example where that was your moment. That was your part. And you went in, and there's a lot to be said for, like, you know, not knowing all the rules, not knowing the tricks.
Yes.
And, right?
There is, and you can't plan it. And I totally agree with you that when it's your part, it's your part, but it has to happen naturally. Literally, you just have to be open to it. You just have to keep going. You have to keep, like, you know, throwing the crap up on the wall and seeing what sticks, you know?
Right. Like spaghetti on the wall. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
keep throwing it up, see if it sticks, you know. Was random. It was totally random.
Well, what's amazing to me is hearing that now is like, oh my God, that first part just sort of propelled you off running. You know what I mean? It was
definitely.
It was like a huge break. So I guess it's interesting because when you get into a big blockbuster kind of franchise like that, it's good and bad. It's never bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
you're lucky to get it, but
right.
You get a little typecast.
Right.
And you're lucky to be typecast.
Exactly.
I don't know. You know?
I agree.
Mm.
I talk about getting typecast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's not, that's a blessing, especially in the TV world, you know, because the TV world, they can only, they want to put us in a certain category. And if you, I think once you get in a category, then you can get on that list. But you jumped right into television pretty quickly, and you had a lot of great television. And so looking back on that now, I know we made fun of the method situation in terms of applying that to TV, which is kind of different. But your training obviously helped you in many ways, you know. But I think
it's also good.
An innate, natural comedic ability that you can either have or you don't. It's just, you know, you have to have the timing that you have.
I feel lucky that it like kicked in at that time because, you know, in college I fancied myself a Meryl Streep. I thought I was just really sweet. I mean, I was doing Sam Shepard plays and crying my eyes out, and like, you know, it's so interesting that like the comedy kind of came out and the comedy has stayed, and I'm so glad for it because you can actually like get older and
yes.
do it, you know.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, in the business that we're in, I've said this many times, we know it's a sexist business. I mean, as an actor, as a man, you know, I'm only going to work more the more older and more grizzled I get. And
no,
you know,
I believe that about you. I feel like the more lines you get on your face, you know.
Yeah,
the
but
more
when it comes to women, you know, there's that double standard. Luckily, as I always say, if you can fall luckily into the character actress category, that's a blessing because there's all these other
totally.
Great parts for actor. But you know, but there is still that double standard. Going forward, but I think what's great about you is, and this is what I want all young actors to listen, is you just have to stay in the game, you know?
Yes.
You just stay in the game.
It's like craps. It's literally like, you just, I mean, I love to gamble. So it's like, you got to be rolling. You got to keep rolling. And like, sometimes you roll a million times until you get a good, you know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gambling, I wanted to talk about that. So I don't know if a lot of people know, but you're quite the proficient poker player. And
yes,
that is a passion of yours. And it's not just like a celebrity, like, you know how a lot of celebrities kind of get associated with, like, you know, basket weaving and whatever. But this is like something you really love and that you're really good at too. How did that happen? Was that something you started?
I feel so lucky. My father, you know, he passed away 2 years ago.
Oh,
rest
bless
his soul.
Yes.
He taught me how to play, and he taught me when I was 4 years old, which is kind of ridiculous.
Wow.
It might sound a little ridiculous. He was very Irish, and he liked to drink, and, you know,
uh-huh.
I mean, but he, God love him. I think about him, and I'm so grateful for him, because he was just not misogynistic with me in any way.
Mm-hmm.
He was just literally like, you're going to be the best poker player ever, you know?
Wow.
And so he kind of taught me, and I've been playing for so long that it's something that I know how to do. And then I did a lot of the celebrity tournaments, and then I got like really serious about it and played the World Series, and, you know, I cashed a couple times in the World Series.
Wow.
And then it's funny, like, my husband Lee and I, we go and we play a lot because we enjoy it, and he's really good too. I taught him how to play, and he's very good. I hate to be braggy.
No,
but,
you should brag.
He's very good now too. I'm very proud of his playing. But it's kind of fun for me because I look so kind of blonde and stupid that people don't see it coming. They have no idea that I actually know how to play, and I can hustle at it. And I've made money, and I enjoy it because it's a lot like acting, I think, in that, like, you have to really believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of, like, the acting thing is, like, you kind of really believe that you can
yes.
get that part, even
it's
though
it's confidence.
So, like, not in your favor, you know,
right.
The odds are not in your favor, but gambling is the same kind of thing. It's fun.
Well, that's a great point you make. Like you said, they don't see it coming with you. You know, they talk about the poker face,
oh.
I guess. And so that's a brilliant observation. You're
people
like,
all in. I'm like, all in. Everyone at the table is like, all in, all in, all in. I'm like, really? Like, if I was you, you wouldn't be. But you just think I don't know what I'm doing. It's great, you know.
Yeah, you can.
And
you
I
can use that.
A lot. Yeah.
You can use that blonde hair to your favor in your advantage, especially in poker. I love it.
It works.
Wow.
It really works in poker. It works.
Well,
and
anyone.
It's good for your mind.
Everyone tuning in right now, we're here with the amazing Jennifer Elise Cox and my co-host, Mr. John Williams. And also, everyone, you can call in at, what's the number, John? Can you give out the phone number?
Oh, sure. They can call in 563-999-3025. Again, that's
yes.
563-999-3025. And that's during this Thursday, November 7th. Show.
Right. The live show. If you happen yeah. to be, obviously, if you're listening to this later on an archive podcast, you can't call in. That's okay.
Right.
You can still enjoy it. Because
well,
this goes
could,
on to...
But nobody's going to answer.
Nobody's going to answer.
That's why I'm making that distinction.
I mean, I can give you my cell phone number just in case if you're lonely, I can talk to you. But,
oh, Lord.
But otherwise, good luck to you. Yeah. But, you know, I know Lee said he did not need a shout out, but I have to give a shout out to Lee Brownstein, your husband, because
is sweet, because he helps us on the daily, doesn't he? I mean,
yes, and he's
amazing.
An amazing talent
yeah.
in
yeah.
his own right as both a producer and a director. And I want
yeah.
to talk about the great movie Out West that you starred in and produced with Lee, and Lee directed it. It came out just a couple of years ago now, right? It's
yes.
out on all the platforms. It's called Out West, and it's Jennifer starring in it with Sam Pancake and Beth Grant and Ray Wise and who am I? It's an amazing cast of people.
Daniel Baldwin. It's got a Baldwin
yes.
brother in it.
Yeah, the drunk one, which is good. We love him. Well, no,
we
I love
him
because... Well, I love him. I feel like he's the brother that would tell Alec to shut the fuck up occasionally. But then they have to deal with...
He keeps people honest.
They
he
have
does,
to deal with
you know?
Steven, the Christian, the younger one. So, you know,
oh my
I'm sure...
God. Obsessed.
Yeah, who's Justin Bieber's father-in-law now. But that's a whole other...
No. Do you think Justin Bieber paid all their bills? Probably.
I hope
so.
I would hope so.
Or
Steven is...
Done.
Well, he should pray to God a little, pray to Jesus a little more. Maybe that'll help the bald one.
Yes, pray to Jesus for money.
Right. But how was it for you producing a project? Because, I mean, I know that's a lot to do, but I think it's a great way to take control of your career,
oh,
which you did.
Definitely. Well, I'll say, you know, I had many duties, but I will tell you that Lee Brownstein completely produced that film, and he's here right now. He just gave me a look. But no. I mean,
Well, you're in like every scene of the movie.
So much for that film. It's so interesting to be on the other side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I learned more than I've ever learned about just the whole process, and I'm really grateful for it.
Well, I say that all the time too. If actors, if we, especially if you get on the other side of the casting table, right?
Yeah, that must be so cool for you. That must help your acting.
It helps me because you realize, like, you know, 20 people can come in and they can all just be amazing and knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's but there's that one that you just go, you know, they have the quality that, like we talked about earlier, it's their part.
Yeah.
And
it's just their role. It's their role before they even walk in the door.
Exactly.
It's just interesting. And it's not even that they gave a better performance.
Nope.
And that's what I say to a lot of actors now. I'm like, I realize, you know, when it's your role, it's your role.
Right.
It is.
But they say that's because you check all the boxes. Isn't that what they think?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard casting people say that they know within 3 to 5 seconds before they even we open our mouths, they're praying that we can like walk and talk at the same time. because we bring in the essence of the character or whatever. Mm. So they're just hoping that. But you know what happens is a lot of actors, we leave the auditions going, oh my God, I know I killed it. And then I don't get the part and they beat themselves up. And I always say to them, that's not what it's about. I mean, sure, there are some people that come in and they suck, but you know, that's beside the point.
It really is like, it's kind of out of your control. It's so funny. Like, I mean, I love like Eddie Murphy talked about like, him being like 19 years old on SNL, they were like, how did you come up with your characters? And he was like, God came up with them. And it's kind of, I mean, I hate to say it, like, and I don't need to be like preachy godlike, but like, it is a higher power that kind of comes up with it for you. I don't know. It's weird.
I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned earlier, that you have all these like iconic television characters, of course, starting, of course, with Gina. But talk about, because you're still so beloved from Will and Grace and playing the nurse on that original Time Around. Are you amazed? Well, now the show is more popular than ever. So do people still recognize you from that show?
They do. And I just did an interview with this gentleman who was like, I want to interview you because Deborah Messing has been talking about how you were her favorite guest star.
Oh my God.
And I'm literally like on a campaign, like, okay, people, can we call in? Can we get me on the
especially
next season?
Especially with her being pregnant. Hello?
Yes.
Well, the cat, you know, it's the Julie Ashton is the same casting director and she loves you. So
I love Julie Ashton. Maybe we could just.
We're gonna.
I don't know.
Well, I've been keeping an eye out for stuff on there, but I just realized too. I think Tracy Lillian Phil may have been the first time around. Is that right? Yeah.
Tracy Lillian Phil was the one who cast me initially, but I love Julie Ashton and like maybe maybe it could happen. Maybe like the finale. Look, I'm asking for a lot.
Well, no, listen, you know, Deborah is huge. Deborah is huge on Instagram. You know, she's a big social media person. So we'll talk off air about that one. Yeah. Cause that's
awesome.
I've got some ideas.
But you know, Jasper, that Deborah's character is pregnant in Will and Grace this time around or announced that she's pregnant. So I could see Jennifer coming back as a nurse Pittman for sure.
I want to see Jennifer. I want to see. I want to see you and Leslie Jordan together. Do you know Leslie Jordan, the little actor?
I love Leslie Jordan.
Oh my God, the two of you would be great on something
She's
together.
She's the sweetest too. Oh my God, I'm amazed. Did you see her on Goliath? She was incredible.
Yes.
I love that
yes.
show. Oh my God, yeah, amazing.
Well, so listen, let's talk. Tell us about Idiot Sitter and how that came. First of all,
I love that
you've
show.
Been, you've got such a great. You've got like Michael Patrick King and. You know, all these Alan Ball, you've been able to work with these amazing showrunners. And did you know the team? Did you know Stephen Root at all, who was on Idiot Sitter, or how did that come to
I
be?
I didn't know Stephen Root until I did that show, and he is the sweetest, most talented, like, incredible guy. He's so sweet. He likes to play poker, too.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
a gambler. Yeah, He's amazing, and I love him on Barry. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I love Barry. A lot of people don't get Barry. I think you have to – you either get it or you don't. You know what I mean? It's one of those, like –
I've studied acting, you know, been in that acting class.
Uh-huh. All of those black
– teacher like Henry Winkler. I've had so many teachers like him.
The Black Box Theater, and yeah, exactly.
Totally. Totally.
On Santa Monica Boulevard, or worse, on
and
Ventura
Santa
Boulevard.
Santa Monica Boulevard, yeah.
They call it Theater Row on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Theater
yeah.
Row.
Right.
It's kind of like mid row.
Where, like, the cast, there's more people on stage than in the audience.
Always.
Always. I did a show
Nobody
once where.
Nobody comes there except maybe, like, my parents.
Well, the one I did once where the only person was a critic, was the reviewer, and it was a comedy.
Like, God, that's not too much pressure. That's not too much crazy pressure.
I think he felt sorry for us and just gave us a decent review. But oh my God,
yeah.
No, but so yeah, so like, I also want to point out to people, you mentioned that about comedy versus how when you first started about wanting to do drama. You know, I believe it's much harder to do comedy than drama, and I think really good comedy comes out of drama.
It does.
So. I don't think everyone can do comedy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think everyone can, but I don't know that everybody wants to. You know,
well, that's
it's
true. A lot of people
really
are
putting yourself out there. It's like it's embarrassing yourself a lot of the times. It's like being really self-deprecating.
It's kind of hard. A lot of people can't. But I want to point out, like you've done your episode of a show called In Plain Sight, which I loved. You had a very strong, powerful, dramatic role on that series.
I was a hoarder. I was hoarding bunnies.
Right. And it was really powerful. I mean,
that's so sweet. I was so happy to get to do that because, I mean, it's fun to get to do the dramatic kind
right.
of thing.
Well,
and
like we talked about earlier. It's good when you can get out of, you know, people can see you doing the drama and the comedy. Back to being the character actress, though. I think, you know, I've told you, I think the sky's the limit now for you. I think you're really going into, like, I think you're going into your, it's going to be your most amazing chapter of your career coming up. So.
I always thought if I got older, the roles were going to get better, actually.
I think
so.
So
I actually think getting older is good.
And do you see yourself doing
like
voiceovers, Jennifer? Do you see yourself doing voiceovers, like animation, since you love art so much?
I love them. I did quite a bit of animation, and I want to get back to doing it because that's very creative, like wonderful
mm-hmm.
work. It's great.
Yeah.
And you know,
and
fun.
It's a lot of times you don't even – now you can sometimes do it at home, you know, like in,
yeah,
in your phone.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Oh,
yeah,
Jennifer and I are
yeah.
all about the least amount that we have to leave the house. It's,
right.
It's the best.
No, it's like, welcome to 50 and 55. It's like,
I mean,
you know,
if they could come
leave the house, yeah.
If they could film us at home, if we book a job, I'm going to ask, could you film it at our house, please? And then you can just, could you just edit it? You could
I
just edit it.
Yeah.
Right.
You just edit us into the. But JW, do we have a caller? I think
we do. Yeah, from area code 954. Let's get that caller on.
Hi.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air. Are you with us?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is this David?
Yes.
Hey, David. It's Jasper. And say hello to Jennifer and John. How are you, buddy?
Hi, David.
How you doing, Jennifer? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm such a big fan of yours. I've seen both of the Brady movies. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I can watch it over and over again.
Oh.
That's so
Yeah.
Well, but, David, David has a show. David has a show called Daytime After Dark, which I was a guest on recently. So thank you for that, David.
Yeah, I love your voice. What a great voice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Did you watch the Brady Bunch when you grew up?
That's a great question. Yes, I was a huge. I watched every single episode. I still watch them if they're on. I mean, I feel like I loved the television show. I was so into it, and I still am. I love it.
Me too. I've seen every episode too. Me too. I've seen every episode. I'm a big fan of Brady Bunch.
Well, great.
Didn't you work with Andy Davis in the movie?
Yeah, I feel very lucky that I got to work with her. And she was actually my favorite cast member. I mean, they were all my favorite, but Andy Davis, like, in particular, like, she's such an amazing character actress.
Yeah.
And she was so kind to me. We had a lot of fun. And she liked to rehearse, which I like to do. So it was a lot of fun. We got to, like, rehearse our scenes a lot. And I just thought she was, like, just a cool lady.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Okay, David. Thank you, buddy. It's great
nice
to hear your voice.
Nice to meet you. Take care.
Okay, Jasper, I'm crying. Say hi.
Oh, yes. Say hello. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Aw, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
So, sweet. Yeah.
So he shows on Blog Talk Radio. Is that right, Jasper? I was just looking at
it. Yeah, it's called Daytime After Dark. And they usually profile a lot of daytime actors, but people from all over. So anyway, that was nice of him to call in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really nice. Yeah.
Well, listen, I think also, I think what happens is I noticed with you too, like I said, you've been able to work with these, like Jack Plotnick, there's a Sam Pancake, there's this reoccurring, you've been able to work with the same people over and over, which says a lot in this business as well.
It's very fortunate. Yeah.
And like with Michael Patrick King, how did that relationship happen? How do you guys?
Well, what's so funny is I know Michael Patrick King from theater.
Oh,
you know, it's so weird because people are always like kind of dissing theater in LA, but like, I'll tell you, you can make a lot of, for young actors who, you know, are trying to break in, you can make a lot of connections in theater.
Right.
I think.
Mm-hmm. I did too. I 100% agree.
Like all these people I worked with in theater. Michael Patrick King directed me in a play. You know, and he's so creative and he's genius, you know, and he's inspiring you guys because he told me he was fired from every single job that he had.
Wow.
Until Sex and the City. And it was a lot of jobs. So that just goes to show you got to persevere. Don't give up.
Hang in there. And like you said, you know,
yeah.
You and I come from this generation where theater, first of all, I did it because like you, I loved it. And I didn't do it like to be showcased or whatever.
You just loved it. Yeah,
but it happened to be. But, you know, I find that now when we talk to young actors, and I guess it's because of YouTube and social media and all that, I don't find that they want to do theater. They don't seem to know about it, or you know what I mean. It's like they don't think about
it's
doing
it. Dying out. It makes me sad, but it's such a great experience, and it's such a collaborative experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I feel like you make a lot of connections there as well as, you know, being artistically fulfilled.
Well, and also, you know, it's the one medium where you kind of control the performance. I mean, from the moment
right. It
the curtain goes up, you're doing it, you know. In TV
right.
and film,
right.
I always say to people, it's a little bit of, you know, shooting a little here, stopping and starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not,
yeah,
you're
segmented.
Not sustaining. You're not mm-hmm. sustaining a performance throughout a 2 hour.
Right, exactly.
And so for me, it was weird for me when I went from theater to TV and film, because I was like, okay, it's a totally different medium. You know, I had to really sort of pull it back, and I have a great respect now for TV and film, but I used to think, because I would hear actors say, like, I remember Julia Roberts said one time she had never done theater, and I was thinking, wow, really? To
yeah,
me, that was supposed
good,
to,
right?
That was like the natural progression, but then I thought, well,
yeah.
Wait a minute, not every theater actor can do what she does in film. You know what I mean? So it's a,
it's
not a guarantee both ways, which is great. But like, you know, we approach the work the same, whether it's theater, TV, or film. I approach it based, now I approach it, what's paying the most, how close is it to my house, and
I know, I'm terrible. I feel so terrible. I was such an artist back in 1991.
Oh my God. I would drive
Not
to
now,
I would drive to Redondo Beach and Hermosa Beach, and I would do theater, you know,
yes.
I would, and now I'm just like, fuck, are you kidding me? What?
I used to like, write to South Coast Repertory
yes.
from CalArts. Like, oh my God. But that was like youth and just being a
yeah.
crazy artist. You
know? I know. Now we're adults and we're a lot more practical. Yeah. We can live vicariously through the younger people that are hustling out there. Yeah. Well, listen, I also want to talk before the time runs out. I cannot believe how fast this goes. I want to talk about sketch comedy, because you had you were part of a show called Hype, which for a lot of people don't understand, Hype was like a Mad TV, Saturday Night Live
yeah.
kind of show.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, sketch is its own beast itself within its, that's a whole other kind of world that a lot of actors are afraid of. As well, you know, they don't know improv, I think, scares a lot of actors.
Well, I would recommend, if people want to study improv, I took Groundlings, and
right. It
just kind of like, it opened up my world, and it actually makes you a better person, because
right.
you actually kind of learn how to listen, even in your real life, because you have to listen when you're doing improv, and
mm-hmm.
they teach you tricks, and it's just so much fun. I mean, it's totally nerve-wracking. They used to call me to do their shows, and like, you totally got diarrhea. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it on stage. I would be like, I don't want to do it. Like, I would literally have to have someone push me on stage. But then once I was on stage doing it, it was the most fun I've ever had in my life. It's good for acting in general. I just think, especially, it's even good for like commercial auditions.
Right.
If you know how to improv, you know, it's something everybody should do. And Groundlings is amazing. They're so sweet. They guide you through it. They help
oh,
you
yeah.
out.
And you want to talk about a legacy. I mean, there's just so many amazing talents that have come through
oh,
and that are
God.
Still coming through Groundlings. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because I, as an actor, I don't know how you, I mean, I love to improv, you know, I love to
yeah.
improvise on
yeah.
the set, but a lot of actors don't, you know, and I had to learn
yeah.
that. I had to learn that quickly. I thought, I just assume everyone did. So, you know,
yeah,
I know,
me too.
Yeah. Cause a lot of people are very set, you know, when they're working, they can get very thrown by
yeah.
it. So I've always had
yeah.
to remind myself to, okay, Jasper, you know, just remember, they're not into this, but I don't know. I just think it's a lot of the magical stuff happens when you in between the lines and when you're doing the improv.
It's fantastic. It's really, and it's empowering and it's fun and, you know,
yeah.
it's silly and it's great.
Well, I think in conclusion, I would say the best thing about where we are in this business right now is the joy comes in between action and cut. You know, there's still that joy of when we're working. You know, we have to learn, like anything, the rest of it is a job. And, you know, it's just like the plumber who has to get up and go to work. It is a job, but we still love the actual doing of it, the actual work. The auditioning, you know, the self-tapes, all that stuff that goes along with it. That's just part of the...
She has such a good attitude towards things. That's what I just think is so awesome about you is like...
Oh, well, thank you.
Fantastic attitude. I think it's all about your attitude.
Well, thank you. I just believe that, you know, the talent will stay there. You just have to stay in the game. Or they just get tired of looking at us and like, God damn, give Jasper a part, please. You know, is he back again?
And that's usually, I feel like how I get a job. They're like, oh, just give her a job already. You know,
there's Jennifer Lee Scott
so
again.
Give
please,
her a job.
Give her something.
You know, and then you get a job, and you're like, great.
And we have another caller holding. Do you want to take that call, Jasper?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, hi caller on the air with us. From area code 937. Can we have your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Yeah, my name is Ben Sullenberger. I'm calling from Georgetown, Texas, which is basically Austin, Texas.
Oh,
great.
Hey, George.
All right.
Hey, you're Ben, how are you? Hi.
Doing real good.
Well, welcome to the show. Austin, wow, that's a great town. That's a great artistic city.
Mm-hmm. Music town.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did you have a question?
We definitely have a good time down here.
Oh, that's what I hear. I want to move.
Right.
Come on down. We have no state income tax.
Oh, is that true now? Oh, that's great. You're like Florida,
Nevada,
Oregon.
Yep.
Are you in the Are you in show business? Are you an actor?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No, definitely not. I do supply chain for a living.
Okay. Well, you have a real good a real job, which is important.
I mean, some days, yeah, sure.
Do you have a question for Miss Jennifer Lee Cox?
I do. So I've always been a fan of yours, Jennifer, from a long time ago. Definitely the Brady Bunch movie days.
So
I would have been like a middle schooler at that time.
I love it.
So I've heard, now I'll need you to like give me a little details on this. So I heard after you all had finished filming the Brady Bunch movie and before it was like being released to theaters that you all had, a majority of the cast had flown on a private jet with Chris Farley and Alicia Silverstone to Las Vegas to meet with a bunch of investors and stuff for the film.
Oh my God, how do you know this?
I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that. It just sounds awesome.
That's so great.
I don't think a lot of the fans know about that.
It was actually, we were going to Show West, which is like Paramount with like, we got on the Paramount jet. It was super fancy. I was literally sitting next to Denzel Washington, you guys. I was like,
there's some other big name people on there I just couldn't think of, but I had heard Chris Farley and Alicia Silverstone were like two of them.
Oh yeah, they were there, and Denzel was there, and like kind of every Paramount star from that year, Tom Cruise.
Oh wow.
It was so exciting, but it was so funny.
I mean, that being one of your first films, and then, you know, you have this experience right after you film it. I mean, that had to be pretty baller, right?
Yes. Yes. That's so amazing that you know that. I don't know how you know that. That's crazy.
I actually, believe it or not, found pictures like Getty Images of like you all walking in costume at that place that this, you know, event was at in Las Vegas. I actually found pictures.
Wow.
That's so funny. It's so funny too, because we were dressed, everyone was kind of their famous self on that plane. And I was like, oh my God,
right.
I was like, if this plane goes down, like this is every plane.
Yeah, They would have to make a movie about that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. But we were all just...
Yeah, like I said, I think a lot of... and I love the movies. You know, I'm a big Brady head, even though I'm only 36. And, you know, the original Brady Bunch was, like, done and out before I was even born. But I've just always been a big fan.
Wow.
And obviously, I'm friends with a lot of fans and stuff. I think a lot of people just didn't know that cool little, you know... story.
That's a great story. I mean, I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Thank you for that, Ben. That's a great.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. But we performed as the Brady Bunch, like, literally, like, I was sitting next to Denzel Washington dressed as Jan Brady. I would have liked to have done a sexier outfit.
Did you have the Coke bottle glasses on too?
I did. I had my glasses on, and I had like my curls pinned because like I was like all pinned up, ready to go. But I mean, I was so grateful to be there. That was such a great experience.
Oh my God, that is.
I'm so glad
that's
you brought that up. It's a great question.
Well, good. Yeah, I follow you on Facebook. If I can find those pictures somewhere on my hard drive sometime, I'll share them with you.
That would be awesome. Thank you. That's so cool that you know that. That's awesome.
Hey, you know what, us fans, you know, we dig back 25 years like it was yesterday, Jennifer. So, you know, don't
that's amazing.
Don't think twice. I love it. Cool. Well,
thank you so much
for sharing a little bit of that with me.
Well, listen,
thank
Ben,
you.
Thank you so much for calling. Thanks for listening to the show. And say hi to everyone in Austin and have a great rest of your night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all. Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy.
Take
care. Bye-bye. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was like a little people know.
That's cool.
Well, you know, since we don't really screen the calls, I always hold my breath. Like, I'm always like, you know, like, we found that tape, Jennifer. You know, I'm like, wait, what?
I'm on the disconnect button real fast.
I was like, do we have a 5-second delay? I mean, you know. I mean, I know you're an open book, but we don't want, you know, we can't have just everything out there. Oh my God, we could talk for 4 hours clearly.
Yeah,
so
we could definitely.
I just want to remind everyone: go to JenniferElyseCox.com. Also, Twitter, it's @JenElyseCox. Instagram, Jennifer Elise Cox. He mentioned your Facebook fan page. Follow her, check out all the stuff that she's doing in the professional poker world, the celebrity poker world. Keep your eyes tuned for television. There's going to be a lot of work coming her way this year and the next years to come.
Tweet Deborah Messing. Tell her to bring her back.
We're going to get on the Deborah Messing train if we have to bash Susan Sarandon with her, if that's what it takes.
That's right. We'll work it all.
And I'm going to have you back next time, and we'll talk strictly politics. Maybe Lee will join you, and we can get into politics. Because tonight,
thank you so much for having me.
Oh, listen, you're the best. Give Lee a big hug. Have a great rest of your evening.
Yeah,
lots
you're
of love,
a joy.
My
Thank
dear.
You so much,
Bethlehem.
Jennifer. Have a
Take
good
care.
One.
Jessica. Love you guys.
Love
have
you.
A good
Take
night.
Care. Bye bye.
Okay.
Wow, that was great.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She
I know.
Really
we
is.
Could talk we
Sweetheart.
Could talk forever. And you know, what but see, so I've known her for a while. Here's what I love about doing the show. Even if you're interviewing people that you know, I really and I guess I should have known this, it's probably out there, but I didn't quite understand. I didn't know that the Brady Bunch, that was her really first professional job.
Right? Yeah. No.
So you talk about like being shot out of a cannon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love, like when you're hearing about being on the private jet. I mean, you know, Denzel and others are sitting there kind of jaded. They've been through this before. And you know, how great to have like Jennifer's take on it, where she was really the fish out of water and just loving everything that was happening. So, wow. Well, listen, John, thank you again.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing show. I wish everyone please again follow us on our social media, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, and check out the website, jaspercole.com. We will be back next Thursday, if you're listening to this live, Our special guest is going to be Bill Alverson, who's a reality star. He's also a producer and the inspiration for the hit Netflix series called Insatiable. And he's a good Southern guy from Alabama, and this will be his second time on the show.
Yeah,
so we're looking forward. A lot has happened to Bill since the last time, John, you and I interviewed
him.
Oh,
I've heard. I've heard.
A lot
yes,
of great life changes have happened.
Yes.
So.
And you see him in the season two of Insatiable.
Yes.
So check that out, folks. If
he
you're
has a reoccurring,
Netflix,
reoccurring
yeah.
role. Yeah, season two is now on Netflix. So everyone look forward to next week.
I love it.
Isn't it great? I love it.
It is.
I love Debbie Ryan. Yeah. And everyone, a big thanks to BS Podcast Network, our host company. As you know, we're on iTunes and Spreaker and Blog Talk and Spotify and iHeartRadio. We're so grateful for our advertisers. Big shout out to everyone at Blog Talk Radio. JW, have a great rest of your evening.
You too, Jasper. Thank you. Yeah.
Much
and
love.
I'll see you next
and,
week.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Peace out. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.